My name is Pastor Josiah Chung. I'm the pastor of Living Water CRC, which is right down the road, and I will be sharing with us a word. I want to begin by first acknowledging that it was a wonderful week for those that were able to witness and those were able to come and join and see just the beauty of all these different people, not just children, adults, and also teachers from several different congregations coming together to praise one God, one Savior, one Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And what I'm hoping to do this morning is that as we have witnessed that for those that were a part of it, I'm hoping that we could take a moment to see how we, all together in this place, fit into the story that began this week through the VBS. Dear God, I just pray, Lord God, that you would just be in this place as we spend some time to reflect and spend some time, Lord God, to hear your word. We pray that it would be indeed your Holy Spirit that is in this place, that reveals your truth to us and opens our eyes to see what you have to say to the church. In your word and in your powerful name we pray. Amen. I want to take a moment as I begin this morning to address maybe some of the skeptics or some of the skepticism that might come with Vacation Bible School. I begin pointing this out because, you know, I think it may be true that all of us may not be in agreement or on the same page regarding Vacation Bible School. Maybe even some that may have served this week may have some questions as well. It could, in many ways, Vacation Bible School could seem like simply a week full of just it's a glamorized week of babysitting. A meaningless form of church entertainment through the summer for the kids. Some may ask why we put church resources into it, like our time and our money. Some may see the Bible stories really as a little bit gimmicky, and watered down, processed, and just giving and offering children moralistic messages. And may wonder, what do the children really get out of this? Is it simply just about making church fun again? VBS can seem sometimes, even if we think about it, a little bit manipulative in terms of how it markets to children. And when we think about it, there are some legitimate questions that we have that comes up regarding Vacation Bible School. And as we give voice to this morning, to some of the skepticism that may come with Vacation Bible School, we must recognize that this skepticism and this legitimate questioning is pretty consistent within the people of God, the people who we now call Christians. There's a skepticism that comes from outside of the community, and we see this in Scripture. We've already heard this morning from the account of Jacob and his vision as he was in that place that he called Bethel. For Jacob, he was in a world that was filled with all these other seemingly powerful gods and empires. And within this world of great powers, there was the question of how could the God of creation indeed be speaking especially to this one man and to his family? How were his revelations of the divine more real than any other religious or spiritual experience in all the other parts of the world? How is the God of Jacob greater than any other God? To bring it a bit closer to our text today, in the book of Acts, there's also another story earlier in this book of Acts, where there was a violent wind, as we have witnessed this morning, and heaven came with flaming tongues down from heaven above. We also witness in this skeptical voices as they were seeing people praising and singing and declaring God's praises in all different languages from the outside, and maybe even some from the inside, saying, "Look, it looks like they're drunk on new wine." But not only from the outside, even in this book of Acts, in this story of Acts, earlier in this book, a flash of light from the sky and a person named Jesus appeared to a man named Saul on the road to Damascus. We also have, in another account in Acts, a man named Peter who was given a vision of something else descending from heaven above. Kind of like how Jacob saw something descending from heaven as well. And it was pointing him into a different direction, to different people, to a man named Cornelius, an outsider. People questioned if this Saul could truly, truly have been transformed on that road by that light that shined down. I mean, just look at his track record, right? Someone who was persecuting the people of the way, these Christians. People questioned Peter as well, and this vision that came to him to go and share with Cornelius this good news to this Gentile. And the questions come, could this truly be happening? Is God really at work in this? Why does the story look like this? These stories of being perplexed and wondering what exactly is going on is something we can relate to. We wonder sometimes, much like the people in the Bible times, why God works in these strange and mysterious ways. Are we truly receiving these heavenly messages that reach down to us? Can these visions and dreams lead to life transformation, as these stories indicate? It was within this skeptical world that there was a gathering, of, as they say here, prophets and teachers, people who could share the words and stories of God in a city called Antioch. They believed together that this God had come down, to them in the person of Jesus Christ. They gathered from all nations and of all different backgrounds to worship this Jesus Christ and to share his story. They came together to pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit that was sent to gather the believers of this way and point the people who believed to the ways of Jesus. The prophets and teachers helped to share the stories of old and also the recent stories of recent years that would help to reveal this God who reached to them, this God who met them in their brokenness, this God who showed them that love is truly a life being laid down, a God who is gathering his children by his gracious love. It wasn't a story that immediately overthrew everything in this world, but it was a story that didn't leave any stone unturned. It was a story of good news, a gospel that changed everything. Through the sharing of these stories, their lives changed as they heard these stories. Their world was slowly changing as they lived into that story. And the God of creation was indeed near. Friends, I saw a bit of that church in Antioch this past week in our VBS. That was my God sighting. If you don't know what a God sighting is, through the course of our VBSs, both this year and also in past years, there's a task given to every single participant in our VBS. And they're asked through the course of the week, where have you seen God? And through the course of this week, they wrote down where they saw God on a little fish. And you'll see them outside in the fellowship area on the window. And there are some God sightings there. And I had a God sighting. To be honest with you, at the beginning of the week, I was hoping to have some great God sightings. Maybe something like Jacob, where there was a dream or a vision where a staircase from heaven came down, a light shining from heaven, and Jesus descending towards us. some sort of fantastic dream of amazing healings or some sort of testimony of powerful conversions. But I'll be honest, I didn't witness that. I can only share what I saw, and hopefully what others saw as well in this past week as we filled these joy-filled hallways from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. with the sounds of praise, prayer, and the Word of God. What I saw was a little bit of Acts 13. People gathered to hear wonderful stories. There were blessed speakers of God's truth, prophets, you could say, but many teachers as well. Teachers from all different nations, able to speak all different tongues. Teachers of all different ages. We filled our time with exciting praise, as some of us witnessed this morning, with prayer, with dancing, with smiles, and slowly building friendships with love. It was truly worship as we declared that God knows us, God hears us, God strengthens us, and indeed, God loves us. And to be honest, as I moved from these wonderful evenings sharing these stories with 130, 160 that were gathered in this place, it was in stark contrast with the stories that I heard throughout the day, especially this week, where some of the rhetoric and some of the speeches, some of the news stories, and just the daily grind offered some bleak pictures. These stories made it clear to all those that were listening that we have been actually uncared for, that our voices are falling on deaf ears, that actually we've become weak and pretty pathetic, and we are unloved and maybe unlovable. And as I came from those stories and looking at the children that were gathered in this place, I wondered what kind of stories surrounded them each day. The stories that they were listening to about themselves and about their world. Was it of the kind that made our world a scary and dark place without hope? Was it stories that maybe that they felt that they're not good enough or lovable enough or deserving of good things? You know, I'm not really sure exactly what they were listening to, but my guess is that they're listening and witnessing some very difficult stories as we witness and hear some difficult stories. But like the church in Antioch, like the congregations and the bodies of Christ that are present here today, every evening of VBS, we offered the true story, the only story that could bring light to our dark world. As the preacher, pastor, and professor Tom Long puts it, he says this: the world is full of stories, but all of these billions of stories are searching for the one true story, the story of a God who knows us and loves us, the story of a God who brings justice to a broken world. Christians are on a witness stand to tell that story, not because it is a likely story or an advantageous story and testimony, but simply because it is true. It wasn't just stories that we shared in VBS, but it was the life-transforming, eternal truth that we listened to and sang about and that we celebrate even today as one body. The real story of a world, of the lives of these kids, that we can speak to them and say, God is love and He loves you. His love came down for us even while we were still yet sinners. And He died so that we might live. And that love extends to us as we recognize our Savior Jesus Christ and repent of our ways and turn wholly to Him. And He gives us faith. He gives us the Holy Spirit. And He continues to gather His church to pray, to praise, to fast, to worship. I'm sorry that some of us may not have had the privilege to join in this week, but we had church every day of the week this week. And guess what? The kids loved it. And so did everyone that was a part of it. But the story doesn't end there. The Holy Spirit didn't stop there in Antioch, and not here as well. Here is where all of us come into the story of this week's VBS. In Antioch, it was in the midst of this gathering of worship, of prayer, and of fasting, and of hearing these great stories and seeing it unfold within their lives that this God spoke, that the Holy Spirit spoke. And it said, set apart Barnabas and Saul, later to be named Paul, for God's special work. As it is written here, after the community fasted and prayed and placed their hands on them, these who were set apart were sent off to share the story, to continue to witness, to speak of what they had seen and what they had heard. All of us here, we are the church. We are the body of Christ. And if we, the church, acknowledge that the Holy Spirit was at work in bringing truth, this eternal truth to the children of our VBS, that God knows them, that God hears them, God strengthens them, and God loves them, then let us together affirm day five's truth, that God sends them to their school, sends them to their playground, sends them to their family and to their friends, and to the world around to share what they have seen and what they have heard, and hopefully have come to believe as true. These children of VBS indeed have a special work to do for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? So as we continue in the work of what the Holy Spirit may be speaking to the church today, if there are any children around you, any young folk, people who are younger than us, can we place our hands on them? And can we pray for them? And can we send them out to share of what we have seen and what we have heard? Could we do that today as the next chapter of our continuing vacation Bible school? Amen? Amen. Amen. So I actually want us to do that right now. Could we in this time, if we have any children, any people who are younger than us, any youth, or if you're young at heart, let's place our hands on one another and acknowledging that the Holy Spirit is here. And let's lift up a prayer and pray for them as they are being sent to share. Let's take a brief moment and pray together for our young ones. Dear God, we acknowledge that indeed your Holy Spirit has been moving through your church this past week, and it is a continuation of the movement of your kingdom throughout the ages. Lord, we place our hands on the young ones of our congregation, especially those that have heard your great stories and the wonderful good news. And we ask, Lord, empower them, strengthen them, continue to bring conviction into their hearts about this truth, so that indeed that they may be ambassadors of this good news. God, we send them out knowing that it is you that is sending them out through your power and through your love. And Lord, if there were any skeptics or any skepticism within our hearts, God, we declare together what the psalmist said over those that we pray for. in Psalm 126:3, that indeed the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. In you we hope, and in you we trust. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.